kind of nice to have something happen instead of just having like the exhibition, more of all the exhibition take place, to have things kind of lead into it. And so I decided that this idea of a red archive would be a nice way to just kind of see what materials are actually circulating around Dublin in relation to art and politics and practice and activism, and also just to kind of use it as a measure for who actually comes into this space, because so instead of it being about me kind of going out and collecting things and bringing them back into the space, really seeing like, you know, if you have something like an open system like this in a public art center, how will things start to accumulate? And so the archive, it kind of grew over the course of the month. People dropped things off. Gavin Delahunte, who's an intern here, kind of worked as an archivist to organize things. And then about halfway through the month, I got an email from Duncan, and he had come across the project. And Duncan's involved quite closely with a couple of activist networks in Ireland and internationally. And so he started really kind of, you know, questioning like why something like this was happening in an art center and what kind of life it can have when, you know, when something like this takes place in the constraints of a space where there's not like a huge public coming in every day, specifically, you know, in terms of like a cross-section of society, like it's not a wide cross-section. So we started talking, Duncan and I started talking a lot about how activist projects work and how art projects work and different expectations in terms of like how you organize around your own practice and how you get people interested in what you're doing, which is something that Mark was saying right before this talk started. If you want to feel marginalized, become an artist. And that the activists are really good at kind of, you know, that's what it is, at getting people interested and getting kind of a wider population mobilized behind a project. So without kind of talking about some of those things, and so before we start, I just wanted to bring up two quotes that I thought were really interesting in relation to kind of activism in art practice. And one is from a talk that Julia Kristeva just gave at Trinity last week, and this is the paper that she gave out. And it says, whatever various currents may exist in Europe and America, they have not escaped this tendency, which has resulted in hardening into an inconsequential form of political activism, which, ignorant of the uniqueness of individual subjects, believes that it can encompass all of humankind, like all proletarians or the entire third world, with a set of demands which are as passionate as they are desperate. And so in some ways, what has interested me about how this has started happening is that it is individuals who are from all, you know, who can't kind of be placed into one camp, coming in and putting things here that kind of represent their political view, their practice. And then the other thing is from this recent issue of Astro, where Sister Moria Spazia says, he talks, the entire article is about art and activism and the claims that some artists make around activism. And he says, by actually taking sides while being endowed with the power of speech through art, the artists also reproduce the social mechanisms of inclusion and exclusion that produce the social suffering in the first place. So this is the idea of like what fantasies or what artists imagine they're actually doing when they, you know, when engaged in what they would call an activist project and what they're actually reproducing in terms of kind of how people interact. And so, now I'm going to hand it over to Duncan to sort of talk about what he does and stuff. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's interesting to me how you came into this project and how, you know, it might end up being handed over to you as a project, you know.
First of all, it's funny that actually happens here, because I have this theory in the college to be offensive to anyone, but modern art as well. And the theory goes that a great gallery is a hope of seeing something exciting that actually really grabs me and goes, look, this matters, this is something that is real, this matters, so, you know, if you want to get involved or whatever.
Right.
And it rarely happens, now they just go in and same old. So just, the theory goes, I go into the gallery and go, okay, anything to prove my theory wrong? No, unfortunately. And I came in again to test the theory, came in here, and I went, oh, hold on, what's this? This is something different, this is looking exciting, what is it, learn more? There's an open system, and I think the word open is one of the most important things in the age that we're in at the moment, because often there's a space for people to add their views, and all the chaos that can come with that, we're trying to deal with that, and trying to allow for people to communicate what they're about or whatever. When it comes to galleries and the contents, I think that it's quite sad for the most part. I haven't seen all the stuff that's out there, so, you know, I've got my own little slant of it, my opinion. But it's a pity that the art world seems to have nothing of quality to say. So that's, I suppose, point one. The second point then is that for me, I'm involved with a few, I suppose, political activist groups, whatever, and they're involved with things, and they do the sort of stuff they do because they really believe in what they're doing. They've got something really strong to say, and they're saying it. So there's kind of two things going on are existing at the moment. But unfortunately, there hasn't been a kind of engagement with the different groups.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think what's starting to happen at the moment, and this whole project sums up beautifully, is that there's all the different groups doing their things, but connections are starting to form, and people are, again, thankfully, they're starting to engage with each other and actually say to each other, oh, so what are you about? And listen to each other and work with each other and be amazed at what each other are doing stuff together. And that's starting to happen, and that's healthy, because for too long we've always, the world's been on this, all these specialized little groups that just sit and talk to each other. Like, I myself, I'm an architect, that's what I work as. But it's great that this is starting to happen. So anyway, I came in here and was going, oh, open system about the relationship between art and politics. All right, that's sort of what lots of the stuff I'm working at the moment is about. And so what's this? Just anybody can go in and drop their stuff in. So it's going, this is great. When being involved with political groups, I find that they're firmly committed to what they're doing, and they want to change the world. That's what they do what they do, and I actually believe they're getting far better at it, which is good. But one thing is, like, the last year has just been an amazing shift in the workings of the world, and I think it has come from Seattle, and the WCO talks are falling down. But like, just this big global justice movement, it's called the anti-globalization movement. I disagree with that, the use of that term, but it's people are questioning what is going on in this world, how are we existing together, and how can we improve things. It's quite simple. But one thing which still shocks me is the fact that the art world or the art galleries or spaces haven't been used to their maximum. When it comes to galleries, I think art galleries in cities should be the most exciting spaces in the entire city. They should be the place you can go in and just be amazed, connect in, whatever. It just should be great stuff going on. Unfortunately, it's not. I hope that changes, and I hope that more of this sort of stuff happens, because it's been great so far. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. Basically, I work with a few kind of activist groups or whatever. So I just dropped in stuff on behalf of a few of the groups and networks that I work with. So indie media, for me, just to make the point of this, I think the two most progressive systems on the planet today are the systems of indie media and social forum. And the healthy thing about these systems is both of them are completely open. Both of them don't have a fixed agenda saying this is what we think is right and this is what we want everyone to agree with and to do. They don't. They are actually just communication spaces. They're just there providing a space for people to engage in dialogue with each other again. And like, they're only about 4 or 5 years old. Like, indie media grew in Seattle, first one in 1999. It's gone from one website and working group to 150 plus working groups worldwide in 90 plus countries. That's in the space of 5 years. It's brilliant. And it's still growing. Social forum, it's only 3 or 4 years old. So it's definitely we're at the beginnings of what I call it the network age, but it's very concerned, and I think it's inevitable that more of this stuff starts to happen because.
But it's funny, one of the questions that you had for me was, you know, how did I advertise, you know, how did I let people know about it, and also was I using the internet? And it's kind of, it was sort of a conscious decision, and I have to admit it was kind of like a decision that was about sort of minimizing my efforts in terms of like how stuff would accumulate in relation to this thing, because I decided that it would also be about kind of seeing what's actually physically circulating and what people actually have and how they, you know, because I think so much organizing has been done, especially like you mentioned anti-globalization, you know, so much organizing has been done through the internet, which has been amazing because it's actually like caused like, you know, this kind of worldwide, you know, army of people, but it's also, I think it also goes back to what Chris Davis said, where you kind of do lose sight of the individual or the local and what is actually happening in your place when, you know, I mean, I remember on May Day walking here when this opened and passing some really cool looking NSX hanging out on North King Street and, you know, with American accents, and the part of the conversation I heard when I was standing next to them waiting for the light to change was, oh, so where you at, you know, and they were like kind of naming cities, and like it became this like real, you know, now they were in Dublin without any real
That's a really important one because it's, from here it's almost like a trend. Like to be, it's kind of cool to be, you know, an activist and going to demos and doing this, and like the talk of, yeah, I was there and we did this demo, you know, we went into the airport or whatever. It's like, it's got this cool thing. It's the new buzz. Whereas like for me, I feel if you're actually committed to actually trying to engage this stuff seriously, that, you know, it's of course the point to go off and do actions and all that sort of stuff. But don't leave it at that. Rather than sitting around and talking about, oh, is it this, is it that, the whole time. Do your actions, also do more stuff, because the bottom line is there's still only a small percent of people that are aware of why people are doing what they're doing, and the biggest challenge is to actually engage in communication with the public of the world and try to communicate what's going on and try to engage with them, come with the ideas, see what they think, see what they're about, see what their issues are, and just let it go from there. But to
going back a tiny
bit, sorry,
just in terms of then you talk about two things, I think they're kind of, you haven't kind of played them well together for you, just you haven't made a kind of definite statement, you can point by a lot of people have a art gallery, you're not excited by it per se, but are you like sitting with, like, if it was more about an activism, or if you didn't make a distinction between them, why you weren't excited by it, and anyone's saying politics,
just
you could just clarify.
Okay, well, as far as I haven't seen enough stuff, like I go into galleries quite a lot to actually go, okay, what are they trying to say?
Sure.
And I fully support anybody engage. First of all, I fully support anybody engages creative activity because I think it's the most important thing for an individual to do or as human. It's just, I think there's so much people not engaged with creative stuff, and that's just why there's so much ill health around. So it's good when people do it out. So if they're the space to, you know, paint a nice picture, if they enjoy painting that picture, it ends up in the gallery, brilliant. It's great that they've done that, they enjoy the process, that's super. But what I would question is, I feel that, you know, part, and this is my biased opinion, is I feel that art should have an attitude to the world and people and the planet and what's going on, and attempt to try to communicate something. If that's a process, if that's a slanted view or whatever, try to throw it out there. And I would hope by going into an art gallery that some of the content of the art gallery would have, I suppose, a real issue to try to communicate. And I go in repeatedly in the hope that there is something. Like, the last thing I have seen, which is 3 years ago, which actually did excite me, was Sebastio Soldado's exhibition of photographs. And he was going out to places where there were dead people, taking the pictures and saying, listen, the world is fucked up, you know? That was a really affecting day or whatever, but that was just one day, anyway. So
it's just important that you make that distinction, because, you know, that's, this is a bit, you know, because you kind of jump there, and there's no
yeah.
But I can see what you're saying. I mean, it's kind of like about, for me too, there's a lot of work that has political claims, like where artists can be very overt about, like, this political work, or I'm a political artist. And then there's other artists who might not see their work as necessarily like embedded with political content, but it actually is. And so for me, it was about, because this is how I think of Martha Rosler too, who's, you know, the artist that I referred to before, because she's claimed activist, you know, processes in her work, but she also uses the gallery space as kind of the more metaphorical space or kind of poetic space to deal with issues that aren't really about being out on the street. And so I think that for me too, in terms of like what accumulated here, it was about people who might not necessarily think of what they're doing or think that a book that they have or something that they've produced is about, you know, kind of an organizing or a political connection, and then they can kind of come in, see what's here, and then remember something that they have. And so it gave, it's not about like individual expression necessarily, but it's kind of about an individual attention so that, you know, the individual can say, well, I do think about these issues. I don't think of myself as an activist, I don't think of myself as a political artist, but actually I do think about these issues. Because I think perhaps the distinction that you were, you know, thinking about too, is that it's, you know, that the art world can be incredibly isolated and things can become quite sealed off when they enter a space like this. And we were talking about that the other day, like I'm very used to walking in and out of that door. But that's me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, you know.
But you didn't even make the move of, like, or it has that potential to be a communication space. Oh, that's
hopefully
you should never put yourself in that. That's a tension that I think is maybe where you or any of you may feel marginalized. That because it feels like that what I'm trying to communicate that has no relevance to your daily life, that you feel.
But it's
that frustration.
Well, no, it's like, like one of the things that popped up when you mentioned it at the start in your kind of introduction is like, who uses these spaces?
Yeah.
Like it's a huge, like it's the art world go to art galleries. Most people go, art is bollocks. Like, I've got some galleries of shite. And unfortunately that's the attitude that these people have in the streets. And I think this has addressed this. This has created a space. Like, I try to drive as many people's thoughts in here, and there's a huge high.
But it comes down to like the majority. I would say the vast majority of people who drop things off here are artists. And so I think it kind of comes back to this idea, which is really important that you raise for me, is this idea of the art world seeing itself as a community. You know, seeing itself.
So just if any of the rest of you want to throw in something, because it's better than just being hijacked or whatever.
I think the system is very much on the street. When talking about earlier, the thinking is different on the streets with different things, and activism is very much outside on the road, and inside here is very much about cues, and it's very sterile, and it's very, and even visual impact of this is much more humanizing than visual impact of this.
Culture
here, you
know what I mean?
It's
more,
you can approach
this
quicker than you
just
approach that, you know, in that way,
it's
kind of one is quite sterile,
the other
is quite,
oh,
welcome.
Can I came in here the other day, and I looked at this for about 30 seconds, because how are people supposed to use it? How are we supposed to interact with it, given that I'm not going to carry my library around?
Well, I mean, am I supposed to donate? What people are used to doing in spaces like this, because, I mean, let's face it, like, no matter how much you feel that you are part of a community of artists, I mean, when we do go to galleries, we do tend to spend like very, very little time listening or watching or absorbing the message that perhaps like one of our closest friends has like put out there.
Mm.
You know, you can start spending like 6 minutes. And so I think that kind of, like you're touching on sort of how people behave, going back to sitting out on the street, people really will kind of spend time before them stuck in kind of digits sitting outside and we're really engaging in a conversation. And so I think that's something that, you know, I don't think you're alone. I think a lot of people are coming to this and not really know or feel comfortable or feel like how much time am I supposed to be like every single thing here.
And there was no sort of, I mean, there were chairs here, but there were no chairs here. It was the kind of thing that sort of setting up.
But yeah, it became, I think that, I mean,
it's like seeing someone's bookshelf or something.
Right.
And you go, well, that's a bit good at that shop.
Yeah.
And that's work on. Yeah. Is that...
Yeah, I mean, I think it was limited. I think that that's something that in terms of context, like, I usually wouldn't do something like this in this kind of art gallery foyer context, but the other archive that I had was in my studio. I was there for every, like, second it was open.
Mm.
So that was very much about people coming in and me showing them things. And I think that for me, one negative aspect of this was that it did get kind of subsumed within the, like, larger workings of an institution.
Mm.
So I wasn't always here. People didn't always know how. And the desk was great about kind of taking things in. But it's, you know, I think also for people, like, waiting to go into the theater.
Also, the different thing as a piece, because it was next to the theater, because I thought what happened was if you set it up, and then as it evolved, whether or not you picked up the books or not, it became very much to me a set. It did look like an office to me.
Right.
And it looked like, even now with the plans, it looked like it was actually, it would keep on growing and turn into this kind of little kind of funny, political kind of center. Your office set.
I mean, I was also really aware that the curator here has a very specific, what I call the camper shoe and plywood aesthetic, which is very, like, sort of, like, everything. There's been a lot of other projects that have happened here that are very kind of, like, set within, like, you know, let's use, like, raw plywood tables. And so I did want this to be more like, in a theatrical way, more like a campaign office, more like a, you know.
But I remember with this, like, for me, I have something, I'm trying to communicate, and I try my best to communicate that message, whatever, through film, text, whatever. I'm not going to do it, I'm trying to get better. But, like, this is a space to, like, I got the first head of the night came in here, like, we have the crew here, you know, at the annual bit of cardboard. So there's, you know, basically, under, I get the cardboard, I got all the stuff that fits off, communicate the stuff I was trying to communicate, or the stuff I was involved in, and just, like, you know, put the boards together. But it was, like, the specific intention, you know, leave it here while people say, come into it. Also, this isn't, like, going to be drop-off zone. I, for me, this was the mucus for my actions around the streets. Like, 2 weeks ago, I came in from, I called them Battleware, because my battle was actually not about communication to people about what's going on in the world. So I came from my bits and pieces, I went out into the streets, and I was given, like, a book of intermediate, so I was given a free paper that was, like, not forward of the, like, intermediate process course. And actually brought stuff onto the streets, onto the top of Grand Street, and just was there, had a presence, and just get out of talk to people about what's going on. And then invited people to come down and we show two screenings. So someone arrived in, picked up the laptop, and the crew were brilliant. Like, we're going to do that on the table. Like, no, head upstairs, seats upstairs. So picked up the laptop and show two films. One is the 22 of that top film, like, that is there by Underprints. The 22 of the film, Globalization of Media, which just is basically what it says. This is the reason why the public aren't informed about what's going on in the world today. And these are processes which are actually changing it. And we flipped it over and we showed it. I went on the streets, got people, showed it in the streets, I can't say, just informed people, saying, listen, this is that. People can, about 10 people came into the gallery who weren't necessarily going to.
I mean, you made a really good argument for opening a space for the project policy changes.
Something that we joked about before is, like, what parameters and are involved with an exhibition, because, like, if there's an exhibition happening in that space, I do work just like it. I, as an artist, won't come in and be like, oh my gosh, I have something in my studio, I'm going to go get it and, like, hang it up next to this other thing. There's such a, you know, such a balance of space. But for that artist,
as we had the conclusion, you build it as a medicine, but I mean, if you go to restaurants, you say, I think a dish just like this tomorrow night, I'll not to keep it. We don't do that.
But what I think is interesting, just, I mean, whether it's, like, right or wrong, it's more about how Duncan, as an activist, started to mobilize the space around his own.
Right, so what I'm saying is, where's the art in that? Because that's using the space as a politics thing.
What is art and what is politics?
Okay.
Everything I do is, it's artistic, political, and cultural, it's all living, it's religious, it's spiritual, it's everything.
Mm-hmm.
And just whatever, like, people, like, perhaps we all feel
There's no divide. That everything is political and art is, it's just cliche, but it's true. Even if you don't say it, if it's just an abstract painting on a wall, it's political, like it's what, it's the conditions it's made in, everything. It's not, I don't think, because it's, this is overtly political, but that's the problem.
I'm sorry, I just have to interrupt this for a second. Can we move into the table
project, what did you call it, the project art kind of thing?
Well, if you bring in, you know, the ethos of an activist resource center, which is grand, I have no problem with it, but it's not an activist, it's an art center.
So why is the divide, what's the divide? I don't quite
know. Well, I mean, not every, oh, okay, well, why have art centers as well? I mean, you don't use every building as an activist resource center, because everything is political. You don't go to restaurants and say, well, I'm going to set up my table here in your restaurant table.
Yeah, but the activities in an art center can be really diverse, and it can include anything.
They
have coffee shops. Like every art gallery you go to,
Goes into the coffee shop and says, "Wow, this is like the art gallery."
Everyone knows which one
they're in.
It's definitely part of it. It's definitely part of the contemporary art scene practice that you go to the art gallery and you have to rest on
the
shop.
But it's more about the process too. Like, I don't actually see. I mean, and that's what for me in relation to thinking about an art practice and relating it to other processes that people use, perhaps activism being one of those. That it's not, I mean, I'm not really concerned about, like, this being art at all, you know, and that's, or about whether or not someone calls it art. If someone came in and, like, because it's an art center, read it as art, that would be fine, but someone standing next to them might be using it as, like, just a personal reference.
But it's not a perfect reference space. I mean, it is in an art center.
But just to, because I think you're, the whole thing of the question of what is art is such a broad thing, and for different people they have different ideas about what it is or what it's not, or what it is or what it should be and what it should not be. For me personally, I'm happy to just call all this stuff art. I'm happy to call the actions that I engage with art stuff. As you might say, no, art is this. That's grand. Art spaces are about that dialogue. This is what we're doing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We're engaging with each other about what are these issues, whatever. But for me, I'm happy enough to call it art. To go and do my political stuff, which happens to be artistic, to go out and to put my orange wig on and go out and speak my own and stand there.
That's it. I mean, you just say, oh, well, I'm going to, it's art because I call it art.
Which is like a restaurant and also a very bounded private space that's there for profit for usually like one family or one individual.
Hmm.
And an art center isn't that. Like, we're not talking necessarily about galleries, you know, private galleries. I mean, as an art center, can there be more open systems? Like, why is the exhibition, you know, really like the main kind of focus for all of these individual messages or moments that a lot of artists, you know, are kind of like waiting for that moment. And there's not, I mean, this is a problem that we all kind of know, but then we also want our individual
moments. We want to be good. Well, saying that around that, going into just the tracks, modernized products, or theory, whatever, like, I would love if I could go into any gallery in any city or any part of the world to actually see something which says something, then also says, because I think a lot of time systems don't do this, they actually say, this is an open system and it's participatory. So therefore, we're showing you the stuff, i.e. the bad stuff that's going on in the world, but we're actually taking steps to be those political, creative, artistic steps, whatever you want to call it, but we're taking steps to challenge and change that. And it's fun. It's great. Like, you know, there's 1.5 million going to the street to dance, have a party. that's art, right? It's not political, it's also an urban issue, but it's brilliant. There should be far more of that. I would hope that galleries would change so that you have the existing art community coming in and looking at stuff, which is everybody, those kids who probably will never come into this space as things are at the moment. Hopefully the art world can change a little bit so that they feel no threshold, barrier, whatever, to actually come in that door. And at the moment, the art group doesn't create a system where
no community art is like that idea of community art where you go into.
Well, it's kind of this distinction of inside and outside. Like, what happens within the space being one thing, and things that happen on the street or in the community.
Okay.
I guess you might describe what it is, but this is a recipe for activism and for participatory structures and so on. But I don't know where the art is in that. And I don't know if you seek to use the art in it.
What is this supposed to be for you there? I mean, what is art? Who cares? Like, what is this to you? What was this supposed to be? What was your...
Well, that's what I mean. I'm not really worried about whether or not it's art, because I think that a lot of things, again, it's back to the claim, you know, that like a lot of things that claim themselves as art or like placed within that, you know, that art space, I think, is a question as well. So it's not, I mean, that's a just least direct question. For me, it was really about just the juxtaposition and defining individual voices. So, because I think the art world tells us a lot about representation and tells us a lot about politics, that right now I'm really just very, on a very individual level, questioning. And so I wanted to just kind of get back to ideas of representation, kind of what I was saying earlier, you know, this idea of like what someone might, you know, like Brian Fay's, you know, sketchbook that he made for this project, you know, being next to like a book that someone dropped off about Gandhi, you know, Gandhi's biography. I mean, it's sort of like what things kind of accumulate. I mean, that's something I'm always interested in. And also allowing people to decide their own limits. So, you know, the archive being a system, instead of me being an archivist that kind of chooses what gets in and what doesn't, it's about people sort of deciding for themselves if they're going to be there or not, if they're going to be represented individually or not, and how they're going to represent themselves. And so, you know, Affinity Archive was like that too. Like, the artist had to make that decision, or the, you know, the person, anyone. It didn't have to just be an artist, you know, so... So that anyone can kind of set the limitations for themselves. And it's funny how people do set their own limits. I mean, no one has, like with Affinity Archive, people were joking like, oh, well, what if someone comes in like with their entire like studio? And no one did. You know, and it's kind of about like trusting.
Well, you kind of set limits on this before, even without setting limits, like their limits on this, and like how I anticipate. Do I bring into my work really soon? Is that what this is really about? So you did set limits on it, really. And I was quite shocked to kind of see what did, you know, the flowers and stuff. That was great, like the evolution of it. So it did go as far as it did go.